One day, somebody, one of my friends, he said, "Hey, there is something called as virus, which has come to the computers," and I couldn't understand what it is.
How did your journey of entrepreneurship in the healthcare segment start for you?
We could do with the three C's, I would say.
Okay.
One is computation.
Okay.
The other one is communication.
Okay.
And the third thing is collaboration. We made all these three in one and called it Trinetra.
You manufacture and design dialysis machines.
Yes.
But this wasn't a journey that started yesterday.
And it was actually first of its kind in the world. That is the first product which we did. And it was those days, we didn't even know what is a startup. We didn't know innovation, patenting, nothing.
You spoke about a lot of innovation when it comes to all the products that you have in your basket at the moment. But there is something that I would want to call you. I think you're a true innovative philanthropist, is the term that I would want to give you. Why? Because there is a sense of when there is innovation currently, there's a sense of affordability as well that you're trying to cater to. How is it that you managed to create the sense of affordability for when there is innovation technology that comes into healthcare?
See, innovation is something I would say, we don't focus on innovation.
Okay.
It's only a byproduct.
Okay.
You try to solve the problem.
Uh-huh.
So now, for example, if you take the people who are in smaller places.
Yeah.
And more so the ones who are in the rural area, for them, getting to the city or big cities and hospitals and getting their eye checked or checking for their kidney problem, all that is so expensive.
Yes.
So we have to do a paradigm shift there, a paradigm change.
Okay.
And that is basically if the patient go to hospital.
Mm.
That is the norm. But why can't the hospital go to the patient?
Okay.
So that is a paradigm shift what we look at.
Okay.
And by doing that, you see that will need a lot of gaps to be filled.
Yes.
And that could result in innovations.
Yes.
That's how we know. Mm-hmm. For example, if I have a person going to a big hospital in a city, you would have had a fantastic ECG machine, very big and with printer and all that. But the thing is now, if you want to move that to the rural or to this one, you need to make a portable one.
Yes.
So making a portable ECG becomes a sort of an innovation.
Yes.
So we have to do it for a large number of people. Fixing all the 12 leads and all that is going to take time.
Okay.
So you try to manage that with maybe 3 leads.
Okay.
Or 5 leads.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to come up with a special algorithm, triangularization, all that, and that can become another innovation. So that way, what we see is the resource constraints are the ones, which will actually trigger
yes.
a lot of
innovations.
And the other way we see is also, for example, one of the big problems with healthcare, medical device sector particularly is, there are only few companies who are making these devices in general.
Okay.
So to keep their monopoly, in some sense I would say monopoly,
okay.
they would have patented a lot of things.
Yes.
Of course, they would have also spent a lot of money on R&D research.
Yes.
So they have to obviously protect their this one.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of patents.
Huh.
Now, if say, for example, I want to do it in India, which technologies which were developed, 30, 40 years ago somewhere outside in Europe or in US. So there would be a lot of technologies which are patented. So I have to see, I would soon to infringe on their designs.
Yes.
So for which, we need to come up with some newer ways of doing the same.
Same, yes.
And that can lead to a lot of innovations.
Same.
So we did that for particularly, I was telling you about the premature babies.
Mm.
So this camera, what they used, they had used a lighting mechanism, which was using some xenon lamps and all that.
Okay.
And anything you do with that, you know, the lamp is actually connected to the device, the handset, through a fiber optic link and all that. But now, if you do anything with this fiber optic coupling or transmitting the light like that, it's all patented.
Okay.
So I had to come up with a new way of overcoming these patents, but at the same time keeping the efficiency and also the system cost also low.
Low, yes.
So that's where, you know, we invented something. I made use of light guides.
Okay.
And no fiber optic at all.
Okay.
And use some LEDs in the handheld device itself.
Okay.
So that way, you know, we try to come up with a newer way of doing this. And that, you know, we patented. And we have used grant and all that on those patents.
Okay.
So that way, you see, there is a... it's purely, you know, I would say, it is a necessity. It is a clear problem definition.
Okay.
And to solve that, you know, you come up with alternate techniques. And if you see light guides, that, you know, it's something which I see, you know, in automobile industry, it's very much used.
Yes.
If you see all the automobile back lamps, there you see you have only one light.
Mm-hmm.
But then it looks like, you know, it's so many lights, you know, which are coming out.
Yes.
So that you can see that, you know, in this time. So they use light guides there. Okay. A similar concept. So that way, there are a lot of things, you know, which we are inspired by looking at other industries.
Yes.
And things around you.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that appropriate technology into your system, your design,
yes,
is what leads to a lot of innovation.
Innovation. And hence the affordability comes in.
Yes, obviously. Obviously. And it's always a case, you know, now... Imagine using a xenon lamp, using fiber optic coupled to that, and then those fibers, you know, they are light fibers, they're not this one. So that is actually, you know, harnessed into this handset. It's quite complicated.
Yeah. And
so, and it costs a lot of money.
Money, yes.
Whereas, you know, if you are using LEDs,
it's
very cheap.
Cheap, yes. And you have a solution.
And also, yeah, you don't need all the coupling and all that.
Yeah.
So that way it's... that is what, you know, that appropriateness is what the WHO paper says or the publication says is very important. So we need to see what is appropriate,
yes,
keeping the cost low and making it more accessible.
So you spoke about affordability and innovation, and
yeah,
both of this go hand in hand.
Yes.
If there's no innovation, like there's no affordability, and It's a process where, you know, you have found solutions to replace wherever things have been expensive. There are alternates to everything. For someone who is looking at innovation as well as affordability in the healthcare segment, if I have a concept and I want to bring it out into the market, what is it that I have to do?
So if you want to do a concept to a product, you know, so concepts, you know, we keep getting a lot of such ideas, you know, concepts as we more and more, you know, you see the world around you.
Yes.
But lot of it, you know, might have already been done by somebody.
Yes.
So first we need to validate it.
Okay.
The validation process, of course, is two ways. Mm-hmm. One is validating it with respect to what exists.
Okay.
We call it as the state of the art. And the other thing is validating whether this is going to be used.
Okay.
That is only with the end user we can actually do that.
Yes.
So that is where we enter into the user-centric design concepts. Mm. And you do an immersive session.
Okay.
Get into, say, if I'm innovating something for dialysis, I might get into a dialysis center, sit there, observe what's happening. And for several weeks, we have done that.
Okay.
And also, we have got some experts on board, actually, who are running dialysis centers, who are nephrologists, who are the later, who know all the latest in technology there in that space.
Okay.
So with them, you know, you interact. And... once this validation from the end user, all the stakeholders, I would say, the doctors on one side, the center managers,
yes,
and technicians, dialysis technicians, nurses, yes, and patients, of course, yes, they are very important. Once you get all the stakeholders to say, yes, this is a good concept, we can go ahead and do it. Okay. That's when we start our innovation.
Okay.
So this process is very important, how you get this validated.
Okay. This process of, you know, validation and then bringing out the product and then talking to different people, having a hands-on experience,
yes,
about what we think that the system needs is really important.
Yes.
But on the same time, I want to understand your thoughts on why is it important for, say, innovators or people who are getting into an entrepreneurship pathway, that, you know, you need to be associated with academia, institutions, other organizations. How do they play a very pivotal role in this entire process?
See, we need an ecosystem to develop any new thing. And when we are talking about some new technology or new application, a person with 40 years of experience, yes, or a person with just coming out of a college,
yes,
would all be the same, because everybody has to learn.
Yes.
I would rather bet more on the youngster, because they would be much more open to new ideas, and they don't have any backlog.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get such an environment, you know, the best is to use the academia.
Okay.
By working with academia, we also are creating ecosystem.
Okay.
So we are trying to bridge the gap between academia and industry.
Yes.
So we go there, we try to engage with the faculty there,
mm-hmm,
so that they are also finding something, you know, they are teaching some FFT. So now they see that, wow, this is used, you know, in this data compression algorithm.
Yes.
Or they may be doing some image processing. Mm. Now they see that, yeah, this image processing can be applied for early detection of oral cancer.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you see, that way, you know, it also motivates them to really contribute to that and get more perfect in this, whatever they are doing. At the same time, students, you know, always, you know, they are hungry for some new thoughts, new ideas. And the best way to train these students is to put them on the job.
Yes.
So that is what, you know, is being used. May it be multinational experience or, you know, my own startups. I've always been associated with academic institutions. And even in Philips, we would take a lot of, interns from colleges, and they would actually do good project, and those who have done well, we would recruit them. So it's sort of, you know, it's like a try and buy sort of a concept.
A win-win situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Both.
Exactly. Yeah. And truly speaking, it is not the best of the best who has got 99% or something, you know, who is normally selected. We would see that, you know, across this one, everyone would perform.
Yes.
And some of them, you know, who are not good in theory, they may not have scored very well, but they would do very well, you know, when they are put on hands-on.
Yes. Because
so all these sort of things, you know, we get to see.
Yes.
And that we need a basket of all this, together, you know, to make a product.
Yes.
And there are certain tasks, like, for example, you know, testing, then documentation, all that. Normally, you know, those who are sort of, you know, if you pick up people from say, IIT or IIC or something and put them on, hey, why don't you do the documentation? They will not do it.
Okay.
They'll say, I want to do design. I want to, you know, do innovation.
Mm.
So there are so many, you know, who come from tier 2, tier 3.
Yes.
They may want to learn something new.
Yes.
So they may be in a position to do this because for them, job is important.
Yes.
And if somebody is really intelligent, you know, that fellow will do testing.
Yes.
Because that's through testing you can learn the whole system much faster.
Yes.
So like that, you know, that mixed bag is what we need, and a proper combination of this one. Then when you are talking about specialized field, like for example healthcare, or you talk about aerospace or something, you may also need specialists, who are at a higher level. Like, for example, you know, in healthcare, we see that there is a concept. Now, that concept you want to prove not just for yourself, but for the world.
Yeah.
So for that, what you do is you catch hold of some key opinion leaders.
Okay.
In that field.
Okay.
And those key opinion leaders, you know, you have to motivate them somehow to see that, you know, they look into your concept.
Yes.
As a research problem.
Mm.
And try to see, you know, how this will have an impact.
Fact.
We call it as a health technology assessment.
Okay.
So it was very difficult to do that in India. We started that first, you know, in IIT Kharagpur.
Mm.
We had a SMST, as it is called.
Okay.
School for Medical Science and Technology.
Okay.
And they, you know, they bring engineers and doctors together.
Okay.
So engineers can do M.Tech.
Okay.
And also the doctor can do the same M.Tech.
Okay.
And likewise, you know, the other way around.
Way around, okay.
So what there, you know, we would get these sort of people together and, you know, they go to a course and all that and do a regular degree. But then there is also a lot of time it takes for them to develop these things, you know, because they are not the best of the best, maybe as a practicing clinicians. So I started a program where, you know, we start to take practicing clinicians and offer them a sort of a mechanism by which they can get a PhD.
Okay.
At, you know, from a very good university in Europe. So that program we started. When I was in Philips, I started that. But then after 2010, when I left Philips, the university was very interested in seeing that I continue this.
Okay.
So till today, I'm doing it. Where we take MDs, actually,
okay,
and get them a PhD.
Okay.
So we try to change their mindset of just delivering healthcare to innovating something in healthcare, in their domain.
Okay.
So that becomes that innovation, whatever they do, is published.
Mm.
And that will become sort of a gold standard now.
Uh-huh.
And for which, you know, they will also make a thesis out of this publication.
Okay.
So that sort of clinician scientists, as we say, those clinician scientists are needed for our healthcare. Uh-huh. So today I have more than 45 people who have done such PhDs with us.
Okay.
And there are another 40 of them who are in the pipeline.
So
like that, you know, we are trying to see how we can develop that concept. In IIC now, there's a new medical school coming up where they are trying to also do the same thing, you know, develop something like that in a more formal way, like MSc courses they'll have, and then they'll also have PhD programs for these sort of clinicians and engineers who want to work on both. Yeah.
Wow.
So that way, it's an ecosystem, you know, we need to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have such an ecosystem, it's very easy.
Yes.
Like if you go to the Boston Children's Hospital where I worked a little bit on the pediatric ophthalmology products, or you go to Stanford, they all work, you know, or Mayo Clinic and all that. You see that they have this sort of a arrangement. And they keep doing some new research, new sort of products, all that. And there is clinicians, there are biotechnologists, and you have engineers, all of them working together and making this, realizing such a new product. So if you ask me, you want to develop from a concept to product in case of healthcare, you need such an environment.
We've spoken about innovation, we've spoken about affordability, we've spoken about what is the current need of the when it comes to someone who has a product in mind and if they have to bring it out into the market. We've spoken about a whole host of different things. Now, as we come to the end of today's episode, I just want to understand what, according to you, would be the emerging or the futuristic trend when it comes to the healthcare segment. And do you think it's moving towards a sense of where it would be largely patient-centric, or maybe we're moving away from it?
Yeah, it's a big question. Definitely, you know, like what I would say is today's problem, if you talk about healthcare, it is not just in India. Across the globe, affordability is a big issue.
Okay.
Even the best of the best countries cannot afford the needed health care because of problems like aging, because of problems like non-communicable diseases, hypertension, diabetes, COPD, all these things which are chronic diseases, you know, they are becoming much more rampant because of the ecosystem, the pollution and lifestyle and all these sort of things. So healthcare is becoming a very, very expensive task. And the other important aspect is aging. The healthcare problems obviously get more and more difficult as the person gets aged. Today, if you see in a country like India also, it's very common to see people up to 80 years, you know, living in a, you know, they are aged 80 years and still, you know, managing very well, all that, right? So in the last 20 years, you know, what was an average age, which was around 56 or something, today it has become something like 75, 80. So that is a big issue. So what I feel is we need to innovate a lot to, number one, manage the disease at an early stage.
Okay.
So disease management, as it is called, has to be done, and we are at a very in technology, because we have the mobile phones, smartphones today. More than 90% of the population in India and have maybe access. 100% in the developed world have smartphones. So there is fantastic disease management things which can be done on these phones. So that is one very big thing. To do that, you need digitization of the entire healthcare system.
Yes.
You need medical records. It could be personal health records or electronic medical records.
Yes.
So that is something which is becoming a de facto norm. Mm-hmm. So everywhere these records are there. Now, with that data, you know, you will see now huge amount of data.
Yes.
For the entire 7 billion population.
Yes.
So there's a lot of interesting or very useful information what can be drawn out of this.
Yes.
That's, and then we have this cloud services and all that. So you can get the data from wherever you want, anonymize it, and then, you know, use that. And with that, you can apply your machine learning. You can apply AI.
Yes.
Make this process of the entire epidemiology, you know, can be studied in a different way.
Yes.
And it can be made much more focused so that, you know, we get more precision medicine.
Yes.
And we get more personalized medicine.
Yes.
Why everybody should take 1 crore in if they have a fever?
Fever, yes.
There may be, you know, somebody who can take only 1/4 of it.
Yes.
And get this one. So like that, there are so many personalized medicine things. Mm-hmm. It's much more important when you talk about oncology and chemo and all that. So all these studies can be done very well with this huge amount of data.
Yes.
So there is a lot of requirement for engineers to do that. Yes. I would say not only engineers, even clinicians. Mm-hmm. Today, if you talk about this programming, you know, clinicians are also equally good. Or maybe sometimes better in programming. Okay, Python, they know also Python. And the third important aspect is how you can make the equipment, which is basically in hospital, to get to rural area, PHCs, and also homes.
Yes.
Home healthcare is a huge opportunity.
Yes.
And these are some of the things, you know, where there's a whole lot of gap.
Uh-huh.
Healthcare is no more one sort of a pit shop sort of a thing. It's a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So right from the baby when it is born till its death, we need to take care of it.
Yes.
Take care of their health.
Yes.
So this is giving us a lot of opportunities to innovate.
Yes.
And I think there will be a huge opportunity for people to work on this,
mm-hmm.
more so for our engineers, to innovate newer and newer stuff.
Thank you so much. I think this was such a, I would say, a mind-opening podcast for us today, where we got to learn so much when it comes to just healthcare. And I know you have so much more to offer, and we could go on about discussing different topics when it comes to just healthcare. Thank you so much for making it today and talking to us on WinTalks. And we would love to talk to you again on some more interesting topics in our healthcare segment.
Thank you for this opportunity, and it's always very interesting to share some of these ideas with the youngsters like you, and also this will reach a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yes.
And I think India is poised for growing now.
Yes.
And more so I can talk about our field, that is healthcare. And we are going to have a lot of new things we'll see. And that's going to grow our economy and also make a huge social impact across the globe.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us on this episode, and stay tuned for the next.